Hi, this is Michael Dominic, loyal listener and Patreon supporter, and you're listening to Y'all Heard, your source for obscure information to tell people at parties.
Y'all Heard?
All right, one, two, three. Hey, everybody. This is Y'all Heard, a podcast where me, Marissa Phillips.
And me, Pete Phillips.
Are not related.
And this is a podcast that wants to take you out on a date this Valentine's Day. So stop this episode right now, book a reservation, take your phone to a fancy restaurant so that we can tell you some stuff that we've heard about in the past 2 weeks.
Also, put on something nice, please.
Oh, definitely. I thought that was implied, but good point.
Yeah. In other words, we tell you things you didn't know you needed to know. How are you?
You know, I'm not a big fan of the how are you section of the show.
I forgot we weren't supposed to do that. I'm sorry.
No, tell me
a fact. I don't know.
No, I wanted to tell you a couple of things. I don't know if you, I don't know if you heard about this, but I know you don't like DC Comics. That's fine. But DC Comics is having this, there's a story behind it, but basically they have like a tournament of champions, if you will, and heroes are fighting other heroes or villains or something like that.
Okay.
And somebody's going to win, you know, like it's a bracket.
Okay.
And right before the big showdown of the final four, they introduced a bunch of new characters that aren't in the DC universe.
Oh, like who? And
one of them was Annabelle.
Like the doll?
Yeah.
Wow. People be trying too hard.
And Annabelle went up against the Joker.
Wow. Who won?
I'm pretty sure, I guess you'd say the Joker did, but really he got like pulled away, I think.
What?
But there were two.
Attack?
There wasn't one. She just sat and stared at him and it creeped him out.
She just sort of gave him cardiac arrest while he was a dog. Anyway, sorry.
But, from Mortal Kombat, it was Sub-Zero and the Fire One.
Oh yeah.
They were in there too.
Against who?
I don't know. A couple of, yeah, I don't know. Maybe one of them was Plastic Man. I don't remember.
It would be fun. I don't know if there's an ice person in DC, but like if it was Marvel, it'd be fun if it was like Sub-Zero versus Iceman. But that's interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was nice and stupid.
Yeah, I like that.
So I took your orders. I went to McDonald's. I also dispatched my mom to McDonald's.
Yay.
I said, if you're driving around and you're hungry and you see McDonald's and you go, I shouldn't go there, here's a reason for you to go there.
This is why Pete's my friend.
So I go to McDonald's.
That's the only reason he's my friend.
And in order
meaning that's friendship.
In order to maximize the odds, I got two Happy Meals.
Ooh.
And I said to the lady, I was like, can I get two different toys? Because if they're the same toy, my kids will argue.
You said that? I love it.
And she gave me two of the same damn toy.
Oh! Can you see that they're different from the package, though?
They have a number on them.
Oh, that bitch.
Yeah.
She wanted your kids to fight.
Yeah, she wanted to. So I was going up to order my food, and this guy just kind of, like, comes over, you know, cuts me off, and he's like, I need my soda. And she gives him a cup. And then he goes, I got a large soda. And she's like, I don't have any proof that you got a large soda. You're lucky I gave you a cup at all.
Well, how is that his problem if he doesn't have proof, though? No one gave him a receipt?
I think he threw the receipt away. His girlfriend had it and she was in the bathroom. I don't know.
Okay.
Eventually the food came out and she gave him the right cup. But I'm like, hey, man, I'm trying to order food here.
Yeah, that's weird to cut you off.
But I do have apple slices in the fridge.
Nice. What, did you get nuggets or?
I got nuggets, yeah.
No, mind you, this was making fun of something. I almost said nuggies. Mm-hmm. That's only because I recently was telling my husband about this guy I was seeing briefly who used to say like appies and nom noms. And I feel like and now like that's like on my mind. I feel like that man would have said nuggies. That man's a doctor now.
Oh.
Just so you know.
Marissa's dated a lot of smart guys.
Yeah, I know, but they're all idiots.
One of them said disco fries.
Oh, yeah. God,
or Disco Nap.
Disco Nap. I did date a lot of smart guys that like, but when you're smart in one way, like you definitely are dumb in a different way. Like 100%. You can't have it all. It's like a pendulum. Anyway.
So the last thing I have for you, Marissa, just in case, and God doesn't know. God knows, but I don't know if this is your topic today, but did you by chance see any headlines about Penisgate?
No.
Have to be honest with you. During your Stranger Things episode, I was like, why are these things gates? Like, do we not have the ability to just say, ooh, the mystery around what's her
I
face?
know, it's very annoying.
So when I saw Penis Gate, I was like, if you're going to call something Penis Gate, it has to be the one and only time that you can use Penis Gate. So it's got to be good.
Yeah.
And it's from The Guardian. So of course it's going to be legit.
Well, is it just you could see his penis? I don't understand.
German newspaper Bild has claimed that athletes have injected, Olympic athletes
Whoa.
have injected acid into their penises.
Hey, I'm sorry. Hyaluronic acid. Let's clarify that because that's something that's in most face creams.
Well, I was going to get to
Okay.
that. So, but I still don't quite understand, like,
What does your penis have to do with how you jump?
because what it has to do with is when you get fitted for a suit, the more surface area you have, the more aerodynamic you can be.
Oh, sick.
So enlarging the penis with hyaluronic acid could provide a benefit when the athlete is subject to this standardized body measurement process that they have, as the dimensions recorded of their body would be larger than they may have been otherwise, which then allows it to be permitted that they have a slightly larger ski suit made. And a doctor of exercise and nutrition sciences says that slightly larger ski suit has a slightly larger surface area, which can generate a small amount of extra lift. And I thought, he just said lift.
But why would it have to be in their penis specifically? Why couldn't they just put the acid somewhere else?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if I believe that. Is there any proof?
No, they said that, well, the doping people were investigating it. But by this
What?
point, it's like the
What?
Olympics is already happening.
Why would you jump to that conclusion? Was his dick too big to handle?
No, I think it was just German newspaper said that it was happening, and they probably heard it from somebody, but
Okay, that's fucking stupid.
yeah.
No, that's not my topic. Right?
I don't know what you would, I don't, yeah. Don't inject
Oh.
anything in your penis, guys.
Yeah. And I can only do one gate at a time. No,
Yeah.
consecutive gates.
Marissa,
Yeah.
it's your turn. How are you doing?
I thought you talked enough that we're good. I have nothing bad nor good. I am just a person. Existing.
And you know
Okay.
what, Marissa?
But
I'm going to let you off the hook. You don't need to
thank
do
you.
this. Yeah.
Thank you. For my icebreaker, if you could replace the Super Bowl with an activity that the majority of Americans would watch once a year, doesn't have to be a sport, it could be anything. But it has to be like something that's more than like a few minutes, like it's like an event. What would you like to replace the Super Bowl with?
Jump rope competition.
And it's,
Like a playground jump rope competition.
but I mean, like the competition is to do jump rope tricks or how long you can jump rope.
Well, it's not just going to be like one group doing, one thing. It's going to be like, one might show how your endurance, one might show, like one
Okay,
performance might show
got
your
it.
endurance, one might show off tricks, that sort of thing. And then ultimately a score is going to be tallied and there is going to be a winner.
Okay. I want mine to be a multi-hour slam poetry competition.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Now, the reason I say that is because I want to make this clear, everybody. I do not like slam poetry. And I like some poetry read. I do not like performed poetry pretty much ever.
Yeah.
But I also don't like the Super Bowl. Like, unless it's the Eagles, which I still don't even care, but I like Philly. I just be multitasking. But I will say there's not much to heckle in the Super Bowl. So I feel like slam poetry would give me a lot to make fun of.
Okay. Okay.
So I feel like that would be a wonderful activity to eat snacks and just talk over the TV and make fun of people.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So that is why I choose that. Do not put it on the books that I like slam poetry. That would be misinformation. So speaking of the Super Bowl, I would say my topic is pretty on the nose, but I still feel the need to do it. Now let's talk Super Bowl, more specifically the Super Bowl halftime show. Did you watch any moment of the Super Bowl?
No.
Okay. I played Animal Crossing during the football. And no, I'm not doing that to act like I'm cool, too cool for football. Again, if there's a team I could pretend I'm invested in, I can. But I didn't know who those teams were, so.
I watched two reruns of SWAT and went to bed at 9 o'clock.
All right. I mostly use Super Bowl as an excuse to eat a lot of food. So, assuming you don't live under a rock, you know that this year's Super Bowl halftime show featured the Puerto Rican reggaeton superstar Bad Bunny.
Bad Baby.
You shut up.
Oh, it was Bad Bunny.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been something. I wish.
No, she was at the other one.
Yeah. You probably also know that a lot of racist or right-wing or extreme Republicans were furious. Fox News called him polarizing. Our president called Bad Bunny's performance, quote, an affront to the greatness of America. And professional bitch boy Jake Paul, who, this is important to take in this piece of information. You know who Jake Paul is, right?
Yeah.
He lives in Puerto Rico. Did you know that?
No.
He literally currently lives in Puerto Rico.
I hope people burn his house down.
Well, he called Bad Bunny a fake American and called on everyone to boycott Bad Bunny's halftime show. I hope he gets run out of Puerto Rico because fuck you, you little bitch.
Because nobody likes you.
Yeah.
Even if only half of the people in Puerto Rico like Bad Bunny, he's still half of the people in Puerto Rico ahead of you.
Oh my God. It makes me so angry. People being little bitches, fine. But while living in the country, it's just so obnoxious. Anyway, I'm sorry. Puerto Rico's not its own.
Unless he followed it up by saying, and I am a fake Puerto Rican.
He did not, as he should have though. So now people were upset for various reasons, but the two reasons I heard the most were one, he sings entirely in Spanish, which is an issue because most people in the U.S. don't know Spanish. And two, he's not a quote real American. So to that, I say one, so fucking what? I'm going to bet that half the viewers don't really pay attention to the lyrics of songs they like anyway. But also it's estimated that somewhere between 40 and 50 million Americans do know Spanish. So it's not like nobody knows fucking Spanish. And two, Puerto Rico is, for better or for worse, part of the United States. And Bad Bunny is an official U.S. citizen. He always was since birth. But you know what? Even if he wasn't a U.S. citizen, no one was bitching about it crazy when non-citizens performed on the Super Bowl halftime show, like you two from Ireland.
Oh, but they're white.
Well, yeah, exactly. Or the Weeknd, who's apparently Canadian, and I didn't know that. And he's brown.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but he sings in English, whatever.
Well, I think people didn't really like that one anyway.
Yeah, that one was really bad.
If I could just interject and say my whole take on this is, can't you just get up there and play the hits?
Yeah.
Why are these such gigantic productions? Nobody fucking cares.
I was trying to think of past ones. Yeah, I never saw the Maroon 5 one. I can't imagine theirs have been being some sort of art piece. I get what you're saying. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, speaking of that, this one was definitely a gigantic set piece. If you missed it, I will say that it was a fun, artistic, beautiful performance. It was a huge set piece, but I will say, like, some people criticized it for being too much of a party, not enough of a tightly choreographed thing. But I think that was all very intentional. But anyway,
yeah.
So just a little overview. The performances and set pieces highlighted the beauty and the struggles of Puerto Rico and its people. And however, like, even though it did, like, reference some of the struggles of Puerto Rico, at the end of it all, the show very clearly called for love and unity among all people in all of the Americas. And it was also a star-studded event with singing cameos by Ricky Martin, and I have no idea why, but Lady Gaga. And there was this, like, section where there were, like, people dancing under a little house, and I was like, is that Jessica Alba? I was like, there's no way Jessica Alba's just, like, dancing there. Oh, but yes, it was. Pedro Pascal, Cardi B, and Jessica Alba were just dancing in the background in a sort of, like, blink or you'll miss it moment, which I just found kind of funny. I loved it. I could go on, but I won't. Because that's actually not what I am here to talk about today. What I'm really here to talk about is the other halftime show.
He says, I'm at a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
And I know the people who are hosting the party, but I don't know anybody else.
Yeah.
Except my wife.
Yeah.
He's like, the halftime show starts and somebody puts on another whole television.
And
has the other one. And he's like, the room just split in half and all the nasty people over here.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. Also, I just want to point out that Donald Trump had so much to say about Bad Bunnies that it's clear he watched it angrily, but he never even commented on the other one. So I just want that to be known. but yeah, I'm going to assume no one listening watched the Turning Point USA All-American Halftime Show. I mean, who knows? It's possible that some people did, but it was reported that about 6 million people tuned in, and you're like, whoa, that's a lot. I will say that Bad Bunny's show has an estimated 135 million. So, I mean, at first, like, you were seeing the reports and they were like, oh man, the NFL is going to be so pissed. They lost 6 million people. And I'm like, yeah, that's a lot, but like, I think they're fine.
Also, you know, you got to think there's a lot of old racist white people that can't figure out how to get that channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it could have been more.
Also, before I go on, I just want to clarify. You do not need to like Bad Bunny. There are so many Super Bowl halftime shows I do not like. I don't fault anyone for not liking Bad Bunny. Hell, like, I'm Puerto Rican, and a bunch of my family's like, I don't know what he's saying. I don't like this. I don't like his music, but they still watch it. But, like, I'm not going to accuse anyone of being problematic for not liking Bad Bunny. But it's just hating him so much that you make a whole other show is a lot of work.
Yeah. It's disturbing because it's like, I'm not a fan of that guy. Like you said, I'm just repeating what you said. Like, one is to say, I'm not a fan of that guy, or I don't support that. But to put your name on the marquee and say, I am the antithesis of this guy. this guy's out here preaching love, and I'm coming up with a completely opposite.
Yeah.
We're going to be firing guns in the air. Yes. I didn't see it. I don't know what happened. But
well, yeah. So this is what. So since I'm assuming most of our listeners and you, and I didn't watch it, but I read a lot of shit. None of us watched it. I just wanted to give a brief overview of what the alternative, quote, All-American halftime show entailed.
And thank you for doing this work for us.
You're welcome. I briefly considered watching it, but then I was like, no, I don't want to be part of any statistic. I probably already fucked up my algorithm for Googling Turning Point USA halftime show so many times. So first of all, it was double the length of the Bad Bunny one. It was a 35-minute concert that Kid Rock, the headliner, said was, quote, for people who love America, love football, and love Jesus. And how did you see it? Well, you had to stream it on YouTube or two other platforms I've never heard of. Mm. Mind you, X, formerly known as Twitter, had planned to stream it, but then they couldn't because there were copyright issues that they didn't realize to the last minute because they're dumb. Everyone who works there is an idiot. So, who performed at this super cool, really American halftime show? Well,
do you need any more than Kid Rock?
You have three others. Fan favorites, Brantley Gilbert, Lee Bryce, and Gabby Bure. And are you thinking...
who and who?
Yeah, are you thinking, who are these people? I don't know. I don't listen to country, but my husband, who very much does listen to country, had no idea who any of them were.
And people were talking about the guy who did the national anthem. Like, I'm supposed to know who this guy is, too? I'm like, I don't know who this guy is.
Wait, the national anthem during this or the national anthem in the... Oh, in the real Super Bowl? That was Charlie Puth. I also had no idea who that was.
Right.
But I did know his name. I just didn't know his face. So, now, like I said, I did not see the performance, but I read a lot about it. And I actually heard parts of interviews. And I am crazy. And I basically did nothing but Google Bad Bunny halftime show and Turning Point halftime show over and over again from when it happened until I went to sleep, just to see the info, reactions, and hot takes coming in, because apparently I hate myself. So for those of you like myself who did not experience this holy all-American alternative show, these are some of the major points. So, kicking off the show was political commentator Jack Posobiec, and he welcomed viewers to Turning Point's USA All-American Halftime Show before dedicating the whole show to Charlie Kirk. "This one's for you, Charlie," he said. And as Esquire magazine noted, quote, "The next 30 minutes would indeed feel like it was made for one singular person." As for the performances, Brantley Gilbert, who is a man whose name to me sounds fake, started things off with the national anthem. Even though, if you watch the Super Bowl, you would know that we already all heard the national anthem at the start of the game.
I just saw a picture of this guy, and he has, like, brass knuckle microphone.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck his deal is. But I guess if you are a true patriot, there is no such thing as too much anthem.
True.
Next up was Gabby Bure, who
an American pie eating contest.
Oh, God. I didn't even.
Apple pie. Sorry.
No. I'm sorry. I just thought about what the other one you said by mistake could have meant. Next up was Gabby Bure, who I learned was a third place.
Does not wear a beret.
No, she does not wear a beret. She was a third place American Idol winner. So that's her claim to fame at some point. I assume her set was generally inoffensive because out of the like 15 articles I read, no one said anything about her. Mm-hmm. But then came Lee Bryce. He debuted a new single during the show called Country Nowadays. Now, this new single included lyrics like, quote, "Be told, if I told my own daughter that little boys ain't little girls, I'd be up freaking hot water in this cancel your ass world." And other lyrics like, quote,
"It ain't..." Where's Lil Nas X when you need
him? You know what? Where is he? Next up, quote, another lyric from that song is, quote, "It ain't easy being country in this country nowadays. I just want to cut my grass, watch my game, say my prayers, not get a picture of a flag up in flames while people cheer." Now, I live in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and I just want to say right now, I swear that no one in this whole fucking town does anything but raise kids, cut their grass, and go to church. So I feel like it is very easy to do the things he says.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As long as you live...
somewhere between New York and L.A.
Yeah.
As long that as isn't, like, I suppose, Minnesota.
Yeah. As long as you live in one of, like, the very few big-ass cities, yeah, you can easily do that. So I just thought that was, like, very funny. But also... I also thought it was very funny because people were saying that booking Bad Bunny was political But clearly, the entire alternative one was political in its own way. Also, can I just say, I shouldn't have to explain this, but like Bad Bunny is one of the top artists in the world. So it wasn't like, let's get a Spanish Brown and angry those white folks. Why would the NFL want to do that? The NFL just wants people to show up.
Yeah, anyway. That's why. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not who he is. It's what he's accomplished in a way.
Yeah, exactly. If he wasn't so.
If Kid Rock was still selling albums, he might be doing actual.
Exactly. Exactly. So last up, the cherry on top of that delicious.
White trash sundae.
Yeah. Was iconic country-ish Bad Boy Kid Rock. Who opened up his set with Ba Wa Ta Ba.
Classic.
Yep, that classic tale. And he kept the crowd going with some high-octane rocking hits. I don't know what his hits are, but I'm sure they're there. By the way, do you know that right when people seem to really have a big boner for Kid Rock, like Tucker Carlson... I don't even know what the context was, but I was seeing this footage of Tucker Carlson, like almost like giddy with joy that he hung out with Kid Rock. And I was like,
I could definitely see that. Yeah.
But I was just like, is that the flex you think that is? Whatever. Anyway.
Wild Mustangs, porno flicks, all my homies in the county in cell block 6. In live performances of Ba Wa Ta Ba, he usually changes this line to, if you don't like Kid Rock, you can suck my dick.
Nice. He also apparently has a lyric about wanting underage girls, but we won't even. But, you know, this one is for the Jesus. So I wonder what lyric he used in this concert.
If you don't like Jesus, you can suck my dick.
Yeah, I hope that's what it was changed to. So after... You know, he kept it going with those hits, trying to
this
keep
is,
people...
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the lyrics of the song at the same time, and I'm just getting distracted. Because he talks about crooked cops. He talks about
meth. Man.
He talks about hookers.
That's hilarious. Wow. Talk about delusional people. Ay, ay, ay. Well, anyway, after he talked about meth and hookers and blah, blah, blah.
This is a 26-year-old song.
Well, only they can get anyone.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Better. So after those rockin' hits, he ended, as every rockin' Super Bowl halftime show should end, with a slow emotional song, which was a cover of a Cody Johnson song called "Till You Can't." Now, while he sang this slow emotional song. The show ended with a montage, with a Charlie Kirk montage. So
when I think Kid Rock, I don't think singing.
Yeah, I agree with you. Some of the critique of the halftime show was that Kid Rock singing was pretty mid. Anyway, so while he sang that, there was a montage of Charlie Kirk images and video. And clips of speeches so footage of Charlie Kirk, well, bits of speeches like this, quote, God should be the most important thing in your life. But then beyond that, it's getting married, having children, building families. My kids are the most important thing in my life. My wife, my kids, my relationship with God. Top three things, Kirk said in the montage. It's like, maybe you're like, that's not that weird, but it's just like, that's a weird, isolated, like, that's a weird thing to be like, what? I don't fucking, what? Like, whatever, man.
I think that's fine, bro.
Yeah.
As long as you don't tell everybody that's what their priorities have to be.
Yeah. Also, there were like other clips of
Kid Sweet Rock, who I'm sure, by the way, is 1,000% dedicated to his sixth wife. Like,
yeah, I don't. Is he even married? I can't even imagine. Wait, Kid Rock wife? Does he have a wife? What? What is that real? Wait. He married Pamela Anderson at a point?
I thought so.
Oh,
2006 to 2007. Poor lady.
Wow, yeah, I was gonna say poor her. Fuck. Sorry. I got
it. And it looks like ever since then he's just been working with meth dealers. No hookers.
Oh, I was gonna say there were also other parts of speeches, like basically that like mentioned like indirectly mentioned like the persecution of, I don't know, right wingers, blah, blah, blah. But for some reason, I just wanted to talk about, like, at the end of this Super Bowl show, it was just like, everybody have a child. And I'm like, what is our country anymore? What about a loser? And
you could just hear everybody at all the Super Bowl parties turning to each other and going, yeah, let's do it.
You're like, what? Oh, and of course, it ended in some Bible verse, which I'm not quoting because it's like weaponizing the Bible and it's such fucking bastardization of everything. But yeah, it all ended in some Bible verse. What? If this was really about Jesus, why did they like fucking get some like known Christian performers or something? Like, I don't know. Anyway, what is in your hand?
It's a plant. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so yeah. Like I said, it ended in a Bible verse because obviously real Americans love Jesus. And even though Bad Bunny was known to have been raised a Catholic and he very obviously promoted love over hate in his performance, he doesn't count.
Quick question.
What?
Was Sydney Sweeney there?
She wasn't part of the show, no.
Okay.
Yeah, no. No, they couldn't get anyone bigger than Chris, I almost said Chris Rock. Kid Rock to be there. Oh, man. Yeah, I was like waiting with bated breath to see the lineup. There was like for a while there was a rumor that Jelly Roll was going to be a part of it. Apparently my father likes Jelly Roll. And when he thought he was going to be a part of it, he was so angry.
My mom does too.
Yes.
Because of his time on American Idol.
Oh.
And because he was fat and he lost weight.
I did not know he was on American Idol. I didn't know where he came from. That is the end of my presentation on that. I will just say, if you did not see the Super Bowl, so you missed the commercials, although I'm sure the commercial might be on now, I would, if I were you, Pete and everyone, seek out the Make America Healthy Again commercial starring Mike Tyson. It was so weird. I thought it was a commercial for like a weight loss injection.
This is where we're at. We're like, okay, we got to find a celebrity to back this up. Mike Tyson?
Like we're watching. We're
is
like,
he still alive?
We're watching. We're like, what's this commercial for? He's just like, when I was young, I was a big fatty. By the way, I'm not being like, I'm using terms that are not great. This is like what the commercial was like. He was like, I was a fatty. And he's like, America's one of the greatest countries in the world, but we got the fattiest, fudgiest population ever. And then he like takes a bite of an apple and you're like, what the fuck is this a commercial for? And then it's like, make America healthy again. Eat real food. Which like, bitch, like I was screaming at the TV. I was like, you fucking realize that the reason people eat so fucking shitty is because we have so many food deserts and low-income people can barely afford like fresh food, you dumb out-of-touch cocksuckers, that you're acting like it's because people don't want to eat real food? Like, fuck you. So anyway, there's a lot of emotions.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I would guess, though, that they couldn't get any Christian performers.
There's no way there's not some contemporary Christian musician that fucking hates Jesus, actually, and wouldn't be on that. No way. I don't know.
But yeah, anyway. It's really scary out there.
Yeah.
Before we get to plugs, last week we talked about how nobody calls us anymore, and we got a call.
Ooh.
From our old friend Alex.
All right.
And Alex, I want you to know that when we complain about people not calling, I don't want you to take on a burden of feeling obligated to call. We're always happy to hear from you, but we know you're there.
Yeah, we do. Thank you.
And we appreciate it. And evidently, he appreciates us too.
Hi, this is Alex. I'm sorry for having not called in a while. I think that maybe shifting to not the weekly schedule, which I totally understand the need for, just made me kind of lose the habit of keeping track of, oh, here's when I should call in, bye, yada, yada. Well, that's the nonsense on my end. That's not the point of why I'm calling. On the recent episode on NBA mascots, there was a brief discussion of the news with very little specificity, because you said something about how, like, yeah, guys, we get it. We know what's going on. Marissa said something about, like, I cannot let myself Google anything involving Trump. And we know that that's not why people are coming here. I think that was, like, kind of the acknowledgement that I was looking for. I do listen to the show just for the sense of friendliness, and it's not stressful most of the time, right? I listen to other shows if I want to know, like, why the Supreme Court sucks or what's going on that's bad in the world. And at the same time, I feel like, you know, if you guys were to not say nothing, you know, that would not be meeting the moment. There are awful things that, you know, do merit, you know, having something being said about it. But I guess I just wanted to say it. Like, it was great that you both said, yes, we understand that things are terrible. There's different kinds of friends for different kinds of reasons, and I appreciate the kind of podcast friends that you are. All right, have a great day. Bye.
Aw, thank you, Alex. Yeah, we have so many opinions and we're so angry all the time, but it's one of those things that, like, one, yeah, we're probably not the best people to pick apart certain issues because, I am not the most articulate.
Yeah. First of all, there's articulate. And then there's also, like, I'm still always open to the possibility that I don't know all the facts about something.
Yeah.
And that prevents me from speaking about it. Even though it doesn't prevent most people from speaking about something.
Also, it's one of those things where, like, a lot of things going on make me angry. But once you open the can of worms of me talking about it, it won't end. So, yeah, like you said, like, there are other shows to go for that. But, yeah, guys, we definitely do not like things. I'll leave it at that. So, thanks for letting us know, Alex. I really appreciate that, because sometimes I wonder about how our tone is and if we're doing it okay. And as long as Alex thinks we're doing it okay, I feel good.
Amen, sister.
Yeah.
So.
Plugs.
You have any plugs?
Okay, so I want to make this clear.
I want to plug Turning Point America.
No! I want to make this clear. This is not a plug for everyone, but this is something that if anyone has any interest in this, I think it's a fascinating book. I do not like organized religion, but I am spiritual, and I'd say, like, personally, I am, like, a Christian, but I don't believe any of this hateful bullshit and all that motherfucking shit. Like, I am incredibly liberal. So I got this book. I might have mentioned it before. If not, I've at least mentioned it to Pete. It's called Separation of Church and Hate by John Fugelsang, who's, like, a comedian and a commenter. And the subtitle is A Sane Person's Guide to Taking Back the Bible from Fundamentalist, Fascist, and Fleecing Frauds. Ooh, alliteration.
Ooh, yeah.
And it's basically just, it's basically a book that explains how all of these hateful things that, conservatives and right-wing people are saying are, like, don't have an actual biblical basis. So even if you're not a Christian, but you, like, want to put a hateful person in their place, it just, like, tells you how to poke holes in their arguments. Mm-hmm. So, it's fascinating. It's a very fascinating book. And I'm just going to plug that because I again, this is, I don't know. I hope I don't alienate anyone by talking about my beliefs, but I was raised very Christian in a problematic way. And then I kind of lost a bit of my faith, but it was still there. Like it was still there to a degree. But then when the culture started getting so crazy, and everyone started calling themselves a Christian while like hating on everyone, then I like became like kind of really embarrassed. And I was like a closet Christian. And like, I kind of like also like hated everything. And like, I lived near a church and I would like, just like, I would just like resent anyone who was a part of organized religion and assume that they all had hateful beliefs and stuff. And reading this book made me realize that they're fucking with something and I don't need to let them fuck with my own personal beliefs. And it made me realize that this is just a fucking thing that like crazy people created and it's not, it has no basis.
Yeah.
In anything. So yeah, I just wanted to say, I thought it was an interesting book that is kind of linked to my presentation.
There's people that I know and I went to school with their son. And like recently my mom always talks about how, this couple were church going people. They are church going people and they're very involved in the church and everything like that. But I'll only speak for one of them, but one son wants absolutely nothing to do with religion, doesn't believe in God, anything. And my mom's always like, how did that happen? You know? Oh. And, she casually said that again in front of the people. But here's the thing. Here's why I wanted to mention it. Because he said, he told his mom that if she wanted them to be religious, she shouldn't have taught them to think for themselves.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, what about me?
Yeah. Gotcha.
But I think there is so much to that, you know? And then there's another quote that I can't remember right now, but like about having a personal relationship, you know, like if you just take some rules and follow them because somebody told you to, I don't feel like you're actively involved in your faith.
Yeah.
You want to think critically about things. So yeah. Well, my plug is, not nearly as serious.
Yeah. I'm sorry for my serious plug. I know I'm the clown of the two of us, but sorry.
So one day I was watching, I've told you guys before, I like a thriller. I'm watching movies, looking for a movie to watch. And there's this movie that comes across called Scissors. And I'm like, I've never heard of this movie. And it stars, Sharon Stone. It's from 1991, and 1991 is a great time because it's like, it's not an 80s movie, but it's not yet a 90s movie.
Yeah.
And so I feel bad recommending it to people simply because at the beginning of the movie, Sharon Stone is assaulted in an elevator by a man who has a red beard. And the whole entire movie is after that. And it's like, is she crazy? Is she not crazy?
Wait, you mean like a bright red beard or like an Irish person red beard?
Like an Irish person red beard. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's a but big still, deal.
I laughed when I said it because, yeah, that's anyway. But I'm watching this movie and I'm like, okay. And then I was like, wait, what? Oh my God, what? And it was just one of those things where like things, they kept like raising the stakes and making it more and more goofy and absurd. And I had a really fun time watching it. So I would encourage you if you are like, I'm at the end of my rope, I don't have anything to watch and I want to be distracted by silliness, I'd recommend giving it a shot. Aside from the sexual assault, it's a pretty silly movie.
Okay. So it's called Scissors?
Yes.
Okay. Just to, because I don't like being serious, my very quick extra plug is, if you live anywhere near Lancaster, I'm going to be vending at the Lancaster Zine Fest in April, so keep an eye out. Guys,
if you want to join her, call us at 570-PODBOD1.
And also if you want a reminder or to see what stuff I'll be at, you could follow me at Riss Vandal on Instagram. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/y'allheard.
Correct.
And you can email us at
y'allheardpod@gmail.com.
And as always, guys, thank you for listening.
Have a happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you for this lovely dinner.
Goodbye.